Peace, peace, salute. I'm Zulu King L1, and this is Spears and Mike's podcast, where we talk about hip-hop culture, knowledge, and also the streets. I got my co-host here, Zulu King Just P, Peace, King. And we also have a very special guest with us, Zulu King Chasm, out of 206 Zulu, Seattle, Washington. Peace.
Peace. What's good, right. Family?
I'm good, King. Good, man. Good to see you, and an honor and privilege to get some time from you to tell your story.
Likewise, and Happy New Year. One heck of a first week already, man.
Ooh. Yeah, interesting times. But through all of that, you know, we just got to maintain balance and stick to, you know, our foundation, the work. You know what I'm saying? I'll just say this before we even go into your history, man. I'm going to say that 206 Zulu, even for us in New York, just it's been so influential and so it's really like the goal for everyone to like emulate what you've done, what you all have done out there in Washington. We've kind of had eyes on y'all from the very beginning, just seeing the work, you know what I'm saying? And it was important for me to like really get you on here and tell your story, because so many years later, you know, doing this at such a high level, you know, you all achieve things that like we never got to achieve in New York City. And this is the foundation of it, you know. So just all of us looking out west to y'all and saying, this is what a Zulu chapter should be. This is what a hip hop organization should be, you know. I'll say y'all definitely gonna, you know, be one of the greatest, go down as one of the greatest chapters in the history of Zulu. And that's a feather in your cap, as well as Queen Kitty Wu and all the good brothers and sisters in 206 Zulu. So I just wanted to say that and give y'all the respect and honor.
Thank you. Couldn't have done it without, you know, adding on and building on the foundation. So we just honored to continue the legacy and do that good work.
Yeah, no doubt. So where does King Chasm's story begin as far as like born, raised, you know, your ethnic background? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, born and raised in Seattle, Washington, you know, all the way. Fourth generation Japanese American, mixed, grew up in Pacific Northwest, you know, just always been into art, always been into hip hop music. You know, I come from a very creative family. So, you know, I got introduced to all kinds of, you know, crafts and arts and music and stuff. And, you know, for me, my outlet was hip hop, you know, just like a lot of folks and growing up in the 80s and through the 90s, you know, really being inspired by, like, you know, Run DMC and Fat Boys and LL Cool J's, you know, or some of my early tapes. And, you know, it just kind of grew from there. And, you know, started in New York and then went east and they went worldwide and just been in love with it and been a fan ever since. You know, I started my first element was art, graffiti art, and letters and comic books and stuff like that. And yeah, just been kind of expanding off of that, expanding off the letters. You know, got into graphic design and illustration, and that kind of evolved into events and production and. You know, got into music, pretty much, you know, always been into music, but as far as like, you know, spitting in ciphers and, you know, spent a lot of time in the streets growing up in Seattle. So, you know, that was just daily life, you know, and started getting into the production, linked up. My first original crew, was Mad Crew. And, we started in 1995, originally as a graffiti crew, but then, you know, kind of evolved into all the elements pretty much. So we had a lot of B-boys. We're kind of come from the same family tree as Massive Monkeys. You know, they're a little bit younger than us, but we started from that kind of early to mid 90s scene. And yeah, just been keeping it pushing. A lot of us, you know, got deep into the music and kind of evolved on that front. But yeah, a little bit of roots and, you know, Mad Crew, that was like my foundation. A lot of what we was doing was just trying to overcome the negativity, you know, like a lot of the gang violence and a lot of stuff was kind of crazy in Seattle, you know, especially a lot of, you know, all up and down the coast, West Coast, you know. So, of course, you know, L.A., SoCal was deep in that, on that front. And you know, it just migrated north. And so, you know, that was like our outlet was, you know, breaking and you know, writing on walls and shit. And, you know, just I was really trying to be the big homie that I never had. It was like, yo, forget about that. Like, let's go to, you know, Jefferson Community Center and get in practice for this coming up, you know, and stuff like that. And really trying to get people to just channel themselves.
Right. Using the culture for what it is, what it's supposed to be used for, to redirect the energy of the brothers in the streets. You know, that's kind of like what it seems like you were doing at an early age. And this is before Zulu, right?
Yeah, this is before Zulu. This is before, you know, internet. I mean, we really didn't have a roadmap for what was going on. This is just pure expression. And, you know, we didn't really have, like, defined elements, like, to the core like that. I mean, we knew, of course, the four main elements, you know, stuff like that. But really, it was just moving off that energy, you know, the energy of the cipher and the connection that we have, you know, when we spit and when we getting down and stuff like that. And, you know, it just felt good on the spirit, especially during a lot of turbulent times, you know, going through stuff. And so, you know, I think just kind of leading into Zulu, like, for me, you know, we didn't necessarily have, we didn't know about the history like that. I mean, we knew it was New York. Of course, I heard, you know, Zulu getting shouted out and, you know, classic songs and stuff like that. But as far as like the historical context and like more of the background, that kind of came a little bit later, you know, especially as, you know, we started traveling and doing some of our early tours and performances and just getting out there, you know. I created B-Boy Summit, you know, on the West Coast, and then Pro-Am was a big event that was in Florida, Miami, you know. Shout out to Zulu Gremlin and Speedy Legs, you know, they hold these big, mm-hmm. big battles down there, and, you know, just meeting a lot of Z's from really around all over the place through the travels. And that was kind of my introduction to Zulu and really getting to build with folks.
Those events got a lot of coverage back then. They kind of seemed to have like a worldwide appeal. Although, you know, just, I mean, they were big, but like, it seemed like everyone was, you know, that was in hip hop culture would be floating around those type of events. And I would see it promoted in like Source Magazine and stuff like that, like all the time. So it kind of like it piqued my interest also, you know, right before I was about to be Zulu, you know, just hearing it all the time. But would you say like what would you say like the Seattle hip hop scene was like earlier on, before, like, you know, during your early stages with Mad Crew? What was it, a bubbling hip hop scene in Seattle? Like, was the culture alive as a whole, or would you just say more so like the MCs and the B-boys kind of like, but, or was it, or did you feel like there was a unification between all the elements and true hip hop culture was already thriving in Seattle?
Well, I think, you know, it was definitely bubbling since the early to mid 80s, you know, a little bit before my time. And you know, all the elements were there. It was definitely on the, you know, the B-boy side and the graffiti was heavy, and it was pretty cohesive. But then I think, you know, a lot of the gangs and and crack, you know, really started to kind of like, you know, destroy a lot of that movement, you know. And so you kind of have patches of, you know, these different aspects and elements that kind of changed a little bit. And I would say probably by the time you get into, you know, the mid 90s to the late 90s, you have like another wave of kind of like our golden era hip hop. You know, you had people like Black Anger, Source of Labor, Silent Lambs Project, you know, that was just really tearing it up. Kylia and Beyond Reality and stuff. Just a lot of really prolific, you know, artists and music that was really bubbling at that time. Like, shout out to Supreme, Mr. Supreme, Supreme LaRock, you know, and he had a Conception Records, which was like a label that was definitely bubbling around that time and through the early 2000s, you know. Yeah, and then you have kind of another wave in, I'd say, the mid 2000s with people like, you know, Abyssinian Creole, Blue Scholars, which is another group. Macklemore was kind of the early era of Macklemore. You know, a lot of people that were kind of bubbling through that mid to late 2000s. So it kind of ebbs and flows. I mean, it's always, you know, factors and things, people that was making moves. But as far as like a larger kind of energy, I think, you know, it kind of comes in waves. And yeah, it's been evolving since.
Did y'all have any experience with Macklemore? Like, was he around ever around y'all in y'all time out there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we actually had a collective called 206, a lot of different collectives. But we had at one point we were trying to really get a larger collective between Seattle, 206 Zulu. So 206 is the area code of Seattle, or the original area code, and then they eventually added some more. But 206 and then Vancouver, BC, Canada is only a 3-hour drive. And so, you know, we were connecting between Seattle, Vancouver. So that's 206. I mean, 604. So 206-04, and then Portland is just 3 hours south. So we're kind of trying to, you know, build a regional network and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, he was definitely around. He was a part of a crew called Elevated Elements. Early days of Mac crew, we actually, you know, had some barriers with like having spaces to perform, because there was these, they called them the teen dance ordinance policies put forth by the city of Seattle that really kind of vilified or restricted spaces for all ages events, and they really vilified, like, you know, hip hop, because it was, they were getting it all twisted with you know, a lot of stuff that had nothing to do with hip hop, obviously, and just kind of tying it together and stuff like that. So we was just like hungry for events and stuff, and we just started throwing our own jams, you know, started doing just random spots, unconventional places, house parties, low key spots, warehouses. This one, elder, Khabibi, Ms. Khabibi, she let us, kind of full circle moment. She actually, let us use her space, which was Washington Hall, in the late 90s, early 2000s. That was one of the, we did some shows there, and actually did, I believe it was one of Macklemore with Elevated Elements, his first performance. So yeah, we definitely was in the ciphers together with their crew. Alpha P was another crew, 500 Years. There was a lot of different crews, and we were all linked up and doing stuff. So yeah,
that's dope.
Good to see the brother. Definitely been bubbling, and not just bubbling, but, you know, really having some intention with his moves and stuff like that, which is cool.
Just real quick, as they say, I feel like I've seen y'all in the background of one of his videos way back in the day. That's one. Two, I don't know if I did. And, like, did I? Were y'all in the background of, like, one of his videos? Like, when he first popped?
Yeah. He, there was a video called The Town, which is his dedication to Seattle hip-hop, basically.
Mm.
Yeah, and he had a big cameo with a bunch of 206 Zulu heads.
Okay. Like, all right.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Also, Nasty Ness, rest in peace, right? Can you talk a little bit about your dedication and what he means to the
city? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, Nasty Ness Rodriguez, he's an elder. I guess you can arguably say he's a godfather of Seattle hip hop in a lot of ways. He really, really paved the way for music and hip hop. You know, Filipino American DJ and personality. He was the first DJ to play rap music on the West Coast. He had a show, Fresh Tracks, and then later on, Rap Attack, which really was the first DJ to play rap and, or exclusively like rap shows. And so basically breaking everything, you know, everything that was out. You know, which is hard to get, you know, you get cassettes here and records there. But not every city, you know, it wasn't in full abundance like that. So, you know, it was a big thing. It was a big deal. In the early 80s, I want to say 80, 81, was his first show. And he just never stopped. You know, he linked up with an MC and DJ and by the name of Sir Mix-a-Lot. And together they founded a record label, Seattle's first hip-hop record label called Nasty Mix Records. And they put out a lot of classics. I mean, obviously it was a big launching point, introduction to Sir Mix-a-Lot. You know, Ness was a big part of that. Yeah, they introduced a lot of artists. But, you know, Ness would just continue. He was always very passionate about bringing up the next generation, you know. And he moved to California, not quite sure when it is, maybe early to mid-2000s or so, and continued his work down there. And he just never stopped. He evolved into Rap Attack Lives, which is a radio network, agency that does charting for a lot of college radio and stuff like that. And you know, just a really influential brother, and always really good spirited and funny, and just, you know, looked at him as a you know, the big homie, but also, you know, as I got to know him over the years as a friend and mentor, you know, just really you know, hard that he had passed last year. And it's kind of unsuspected, but, you know, it's important that we you know, give our flowers when we can, and I'm glad that we're able to do that in a lot of regards, and you know, keep his legacy alive.
I never got a chance to meet him. We would interact online. He definitely was a supporter of my music a few years ago, which, you know what I'm saying, which meant a lot as far as the college radio and that, the whole charting. I've never even experienced that at all. And he was real, real big on support, you know what I'm saying? So definitely rest in peace to him. Much appreciated. Much, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for real. Honor to the brother. His work, his legacy, his family, all his work to the culture. And I've seen a lot of Zulus, like, you know, shout him out, specifically from 206 Zulu. So I know that you all were very dear to him, and he was very dear to y'all. And I think that's dope that y'all keep his name ringing and alive. I mean, I see you do it with all the members of 206 Zulu. You guys are always promoting one another's works and stuff like that. And that's dope. But RIP to that brother and all the other great, indeed, you know, legends that hip hop has lost. Big names, little names. Everybody has done their fair share of work, you know, in promoting the culture, pushing the culture forward. And some names, you know, take off and some stay in the background. But that brother, you know, he had his time. And, you know, we honor him and respect him for all he's done for the culture. So in 2003, me and my brother P was summoned to Miami. We were summoned to Miami and they said, if you a Zulu leader, show up. Yeah, we don't care if you broke. We don't care if you ain't got money to pay for lunch or whatever. You can't fly. Walk to Miami from New York, they told us. And I thought for a second I was really going to walk to Miami to meet the rest of the Zulu leaders because I really damn didn't have the money to go to Miami. But somehow, some way, we got...
Yeah. Huh? I said, I don't know how we got through that. I don't remember having a room...
No. Well, I know you stayed in my room on the floor. We didn't even have a bed for you. I remember you saying, yo, y'all got a room? I'm going to be, you mind if I crash in your room? I'm like, yeah, you know, no problem. And it wasn't just you. It was probably like four or five other brothers too, you know. But so it's 2003. I'm not even 23 years old yet. You know, just diehard Zulu striving to follow the orders and just learn and be a part of, you know, seeing what the plan is to bring this organization to the forefront. And, you know, we got our opportunity to meet you and many other Zulus that we weren't familiar with. Cassius D, King Kamazi, you know, just a bunch of people that we never seen in New York like that, you know, and, you know, it was all peace and love for all of us, you know, it was a great experience. So at that time, right, 2003, y'all were about to form the chapter or was the foundation already starting to take form? What was going on around that time?
Yeah. Yeah, we well, you know, the seeds have been kind of planted for a little bit. We I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, like are starting to kind of travel around and you know, just really fascinated about the history of hip hop and trying to learn more and, you know, dig deep, you know, dig and learn and do a lot of that was a lot of storytelling and a lot of sharing and you know, I definitely gotta attribute like some of the big homies early on that really spent time with me as far as like doing the knowledge as far as what you know Zulu and a lot of the teachings and ideology people like Frosty Freeze was a really special person RIP you know Ken Swift man Fable you know it's a lot of people Grams, Alien Ness, you know, that really embraced me early on, you know, maybe as early as 97, 98. So definitely that camaraderie and that familyhood was there. You know, I was at the time still very young and just feeling like, you know, people be like, oh, man, what's up? We got to get a pop into Seattle, you know, with the chapter. And just felt like, you know, there was a lot of division at that time and, you know, still being relatively young. And so, you know, just kind of like earning the stripes and really finding my way through. I think it wasn't until a little bit later, like you said, 2003, that we did our first pilgrimage to the Zulu anniversary in New York, and that's when, you know, everything just clicked and it felt right. You know, it felt right with the family and you know, the foundation and the Mecca, and it felt good with what was happening in Seattle as far as people's willingness to engage outside of their immediate cliques, you know, and seeing that there's a need for us to have more of a collective mindset. And so it was a number of things, but yeah, it was around that time where we were like, and I think pretty much after that anniversary, you know, there was maybe about a handful, or a little bit more, Core Kitty was there. I believe Gabriel Teodros, Nomad, Ogunako, some of the original, few Mad Crew members were there. And we're like, you know what, this is something I think we want to really solidify. And so, I mean, that's pretty much right at, not even a couple months later, a few months later, you know, cause that was what, November. So yeah, March came around and it was like, they put the bat signal up and it was like, you got to be there. So, hey, we got there, and it was actually that leaders conference that really, we got familiar with a lot of the constitution, a lot of the kind of the organizing aspects of it. And so that was actually the point which, you know, we had established the charter, like, formally. So yeah, that's, you know, that's where we celebrated the birth, 206 Zulu, 206 the area code of Seattle. It was like, we don't get it popping with the 206 Zulu. And that's what it was. I do want to say one thing too, that there was actually a Seattle Zulu chapter in the early to mid 80s. Mm. Now, it didn't last very long, like I said earlier, because of, you know, the crack epidemic and the gangs and stuff, that unfortunately it didn't really materialize the way that it should. But yeah, it was some folks. So we were very intentional also about, like, including the OGs. And really, like you said, with Ness and other folks, you know, that were really instrumental to, you know, we want to elevate the past, present, and move into the future. So that's what we strive to do, you know, and bring together the different elements and stuff like that. And yeah, that was 2003, 2004.
I'll ask you, when you came out to New York City, right, that was your first time coming to New York at the time for the Zulu anniversary?
For the anniversary, yeah. Yeah, that was, I think that was 2003. It's hard to get the year straight, but yeah, it was the Zulu anniversary. That was the first time going, and then we pretty much went every year for many years.
Right. Because I know, there were many years where we would see you all up there, sometimes deeper than some chapters from New York City. And I remember one time y'all were there mad deep, like two vans deep. And I saw y'all coming out and I was like, wow, like, this is crazy. Like, the whole entire chapter came out from Seattle, Washington. Here they are in the Bronx with us, like, crazy in the middle of the hood. I really respected that. I think that's, you know, aside from y'all work, just the dedication and the unity between you all coming out as a group together, as a family, you know, represent, showed that you all really took this serious and y'all really loved this and were willing to make that sacrifice. Because, man, to come out there, you know, 20-something deep, you know, that's a feat. You know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort. And, you know, I just had to salute it, man. Like, you know, for real, you know, it was admirable.
Herding cats, you know.
Right. when you all came to New York, like, what was it like for y'all? Like, at the anniversary, was it overwhelming? Was it like, what'd y'all think of it?
I'd be interested in other people's comments, but I mean, it was all love, you know. It was, for me, it was love. It was a lot of heads that, you know, been seeing from all around the country, you know, seeing people from other countries as well. People, I think, you know, internet was kind of just starting to pick up with, like, MySpace and shit like that. And so, like, you know what I mean? Like, Excel from Australia and,
yeah.
Yutaka and King Tom from Japan, and you know what I mean? All these heads from Europe, and it was in full effect, you know, seeing everybody come together. It was just amazing, and you know, that's why we just, you know, we only had maybe a handful initially, but we were, you know, really trying to emphasize and let folks know, like, you gotta at least come to New York once, you know what I mean, and pay the respects and really get to, you know, you can't call yourself a Zulu without really knowing what the reality of the situation and where it comes from and stuff like that. So, you know, it was cool. And then of course, you know, just bumping shoulders with, you know, a lot of dope artists, you know, from all over the place too. And it was good times for sure. A lot of lifelong bonds built during those times.
I remember one time the brother Open Hands came and seen me and Red all the way in Jamaica. He was working a bar somewhere, and he just showed up. I can't remember why, but I do remember him just chilling there with us, you know? And I thought that was pretty cool because it was like deep in the grimy area in the back. He was just there. But I don't even know how he was in town. I just know he showed up, yo. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to him, you know what I mean?
No doubt.
Yeah, we try to, you know, and that's one thing that kind of bugs me is that, you know, when people, not that it's a law, but like, you know, when you're going somewhere, it's good to check in.
Yeah.
Not necessarily as a mandate, but just off of GP, like just check in, see what, you know, what the fam's up to, you know?
I'm the same.
I feel like, you know, anytime somebody comes around these parts in Seattle, like, you know, we want to make sure that people's taken care of and, you know, that they know what's going on in the town and stuff like that. Make sure that people's good, you know?
Yeah. You know what's, what I just caught this memory from one of your early members, might have been 2004. This is just when y'all just started the chapter. You know, we had met you maybe a year or two earlier. And the brother had locks. And he was an MC. He was dope. I think he performed at the Zulu anniversary. But I don't remember many of y'all being there at that particular anniversary. But he had the 206 Zulu jacket on, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember seeing him, and we were in the Bronx, I think, outside the Skate Key. And, you know, me and my chapter, we had just about to rumble with a bunch of Bloods outside earlier in the day. And he was like, yo, I'm about to walk around the Bronx and get something to eat. I'm like, yo, hold on. Let me go with you, brother, because, yo, shit's crazy out here. And he was like, come on, fam. Like, yo, Seattle, you know, gets busy too. And I was like, oh, really? Like, you know, out of ignorance, I didn't know, you know, that I'm just thinking New York is the most dangerous and grimiest place in the world. I'm not even thinking that this brother had experience in the hood or anything. So I'm just trying to look out for him. And he's like, I'm good, fam. I'm good. I'm like, nah, like, I'm going to go with you. You know, we spent a good hour or so, and it was dope. I don't know. I don't remember the brother's name. Don't know what happened to him, but he was a cool brother. But man, y'all really represented out there, you know, showing up to these events. And I just really liked, you know, seeing that, man. I love seeing unity. I love seeing strong movements. I love seeing dedication, because those are the things that I was offering myself, you know, giving endless dedication. Mm-hmm. And to see that matched by a group of individuals from all the way from Seattle, I'm like, yo, we got it easy. We just jumped on a, well, not even, we didn't even pay for the train. We just, you know, jumped the turnstile or hit on the train until we got to our destination. We got there for free, and, you know, y'all just came all the way out. So it was dope. So what would you say, like, were some, like, just the challenges that you experienced, like, formulating this chapter? It's not an easy feat to build a hip hop organization, and even harder when you a part of Zulu Nation and you have people meddling in your affairs. And, you know, I'll just be honest. It's like that. It's hey, do it this way. No, do it my way. No, I know the way that y'all should be. Do it this way. 'Cause we experienced that, you know what I'm saying? Like in New York, anytime we wanted to go straight, they will make us veer to the left. You know what I'm saying? So I could imagine that y'all probably had that too. Speak on it. Like, you know, I think y'all had a lot of interactions with Lord Yoda X, right? Zulu King Yoda, I think, was very supportive and involved with y'all.
Rest in peace.
Speak on all of these things. Yeah, rest in peace, my brother, for real.
Yeah. He was like a big uncle for sure. You know, I think it's just, it's a lot of hurdles and challenges. You know, it's definitely appreciate all the love and the solidarity. But, you know, of course, it's like any family or tribe, you know, it's just a lot. You know what I mean? So working towards consensus and trying to find happy solutions, you know, it's a never ending challenge and trying to really hone in to, you know, what the mission is and really just try to bring it back to that one, you know, resources. I mean, we was operating for mad years with no funds. Like, you know, we wasn't balling by any means or even close. We just out of pocket, you know, just making stuff happen. And I think early on, like a lot of our successes was due to partnerships, you know, with other groups and community organizations and businesses and stuff that saw the vision that we had. You know, they would allow us, you know, space or maybe little bit of project funds here and there, you know, really trying to hone in on that mission, I think is really important. And, you know, everybody has their own quirks, you know, their own ways of dealing and communicating and stuff, and just, you know, getting to know all the nuances and in the ranks and how to really communicate appropriately and really, you know, get people back on the same page is a hurdle. But, you know, we keep it pushing to try to figure it out. We was actually super grassroots community organization for a lot of years. It wasn't until 2009, I believe, until we established the business entity of it. So that's when we got federally recognized as a 501c3. We're about five years in or so, at least. And that was interestingly where a lot of things were just starting to kind of mobilize too in the late 2000s, 2009. 2010 was also when we started our journey with Washington Hall as a home. And so, you know, there's kind of a lot of things that kind of led to that. We originally, you know, were operating out of people's cribs, you know, and community centers. And like I said, the partnerships, and then from, you know, from Jefferson to Yesler Community Center, and then to Langston Hughes is like a special place in the hood. And so, you know, they're really gracious with space and letting us, you know, have some events and a space for meetings and events and stuff like that. And kind of like when one door closes, another door opens, you know. Langston Hughes Performing Arts Center, they ended up having a major renovation, and they ended up having to shut down for like a year. And we're like, shit, what do we do now? You know? So we ended up, let's see what happened after. Oh, we ended up linking up with this group called Hidmo, which is an Eritrean restaurant founded by these sisters, Hapta sisters, that were, you know, it was an Eritrean restaurant, but it was also a space for community. And they would let us have our meetings there. And this is like really where we had like our members was coming deep every week, you know. And so that was a really kind of like a golden area in a lot of ways for 206 Zulu at Hidmo, which the space is called Hidmo. And for many years, you know, from the mid 2000s to the late 2000s. And then eventually around 2008 or so, the building, the space, we'd also be able to do events there too, like a small events and stuff like that. But it ended up closing for good, basically. And once again, the door closed and another door opened, where one of our elders, Karen Turing, was like, you know, what y'all have is a movement, and every movement needs a home. And she just kind of planted these seeds in our ears, like, we need a real home. And it was like, we put some serious intention in that. And shortly after, we were presented the opportunity to apply for, they call it a RFQ, request for a proposal, basically a proposal to be a part of this renovation and part of the restoring of this place called Washington Hall. And it was like, oh shit, like we used to do jams there like 10 years ago, 10, you know, plus years ago at Washington Hall. And it was shut down, you know, for a while, and it was kind of falling apart. You know, it was really in bad shape. And that area is called Central District. And, you know, that's the hub for the Black community for many years. But, you know, in that time, it was really becoming really gentrified. And so, you know, it was in great danger of being demolished and all that. You ever see that movie, of course, Breaking, when they saved the, what was it, Miracles? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty much a very similar situation. Like, like we banded together, like all these community groups, to save Washington Hall. And, you know, it's miraculous the way that it happened. We were able to come together with the leadership of a group called Historic Seattle and acquired the space. We did a massive fundraising, a capital campaign, and raised upwards of $5.5 million collectively to get the building back up in this good, you know, in this original space. And Washington Hall is like, sorry if I'm jumping ahead.
Go ahead.
Basically, it was like a really important historical space. It was built in 1908. It was always a hub for many communities. It was a very diverse neighborhood, you know, so a lot of the first documented jazz shows in Seattle were there, you know. Miss Lillian's Jazz Band was like one of the first, very first jazz shows. You had Billie Holiday, Ernestine Anderson, you know, Marcus Garvey, everything from a very young Jimi Hendrix, you know, used to play there. And so it's always been a lot of history. Place for over 120 years, you know, basically. Wow. And so, you know, basically we were able to be a part of that and help preserve that legacy. And yeah, that's kind of like where we started building our home.
Yeah, and it's incredible. What was it, 2017 or 18? Was it 2018 when we all met up there in Seattle?
Yeah, so we started. I believe, yeah, that was that. Yeah, I think that
we 19, had the summit.
I feel like
19.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was 18 or 19.
Yeah, I think it was 19.
Yeah, because on the certificate it says okay. I think like April 3rd. 2000.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the original, the first Zulu Union Summit. So yeah. we had started the kind of the original process in 2009, 2010, and that capital kit, that big fundraising effort, that was, I was like really abbreviating. There was a lot that went into that, and actually, you know, working with the contractors and the, you know, renovating the space, and that was all the way from 2010. All the way to 2016, we were using the space, but also like it was under construction and stuff. But once 2016 came around is when we reopened the doors, like officially. And we started taking over the management of the performance hall and stuff like that. The public space for, you know, concerts and events and stuff like that. So yeah, that was 2016, and then it's hard to imagine that was already So it's 2026 right now. It's been 10 years since right. we've been, you know, operating the management of it. And so that was like a whole learning curve too, just basically learning from the ground up how to manage a venue, you know, how to, you know, provide, because a big part of it is like, you know, creating accessible spaces. You know, a lot of people are pushed out of Seattle and it's not really affordable. So how can we have a place where people can come back and call home?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And make it affordable for people to do their events and stuff. So it was a lot of learning, you know. And yeah, we built out an amazing space. You know, we have a lot of youth programs that happen there. We got some classrooms, music mentorship stuff. We got a recording studio where we do, you know, Beats to the Rhyme programs, and downstairs we got Creative Justice and Black Power Unlimited. They manage a cafe there, and you know, it's just a lot of community that comes through there. And you know, then you got the big ballroom, which is you know, a 750 capacity space. And so everything from conferences to weddings to, you know what I mean, concerts and everything in between happens there. And yeah, that's
seems like y'all had we lost your visual also. I'm not sure if that was if a mistake or something, but there's a blur over your image. I'm not sure right what now? That is. Cool. Over his, do you see him?
No, he seems clear to me.
Oh, we're all right. Yeah, I don't know, for whatever reason. For whatever reason, for me, it's like there's a blur over it, but, you know, say no more. I seen, like, you know, through some of these programs and events that y'all hold annually, I saw, like youth in the studio and stuff like that. Like, the studio, it's incredible. You know, when I had the opportunity to go to Washington Hall, seeing all the outside, seeing all the art, and then seeing the studio and seeing the space and seeing, you know, y'all really preserving and teaching the culture out of Washington Hall. I thought it was incredible, man. You know, it was just so dope to see that. And then for youth to have the opportunity, man, to participate in these programs and these events, like, and just really learn the culture and like, I don't know, man. I don't think people have an opportunity like that in many other cities throughout, you know, America, man. And y'all just giving it to these youth, you know. It's incredible. Can you speak about some of those, like, youth-oriented events that y'all hold over there?
Definitely. Definitely, it's a blessing, and we don't take it for granted. You know what I mean? It took a lot of people, a lot of communities to make it happen. We fought for it, really. Yeah, I guess I can speak to some of the you know, it's really about intergenerational. So we build community in all different types of backgrounds and pockets and art disciplines and dance and, you know what I mean, like everything. But we do a lot of work with young people too, and trying to encourage creativity and perseverance and positivity. One of our flagship programs is called Beats to the Rhyme, and it's an ongoing music mentorship program where we basically walk them through from the very beginning of, you know, music production, songwriting, recording, you know what I mean? They put together a project. We actually shoot a music video. We have a full-on video production studio as well. So we do a lot of multimedia programs as well, like Cool Out Academy, Seattle Hip Hop Film Festival, where, you know, we premiere short hip films or music videos or animations or, you know, all different kinds of stuff. We work a lot with the Seattle Public Schools, So sometimes we maybe a little bit less not recently, but throughout the years we've done a lot of work in middle schools and high schools, colleges as well. You know, coming in, it kind of depends on what the purpose calls, but anywhere from assemblies to, you know, poetry writing classes or you know, breaking classes or graffiti art classes or you know, all different kinds of stuff. Yeah, so we, you know, we, and a lot of that is through partnerships, once again, so, you know, connecting with other education institutions or academia, you know, we like to help fit in what we can and help connect dots.
No doubt.
And so, you know, that's why the intergenerational piece, so a lot of, you know, some of the, you know, the member or like people that attend, they have their children, and it's always all ages, and it's almost entirely free. Like every event is for the most part free, you know? And so they'll come through with, you know, with their little children. And then next thing you know, their children are like, you know, helping out and volunteering. And next thing you know, they got some of the younger programs, and they just kind of moved their way through. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're grown ass adults and they're having their kids come through. It's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's crazy. This coming next month will be our 22nd anniversary.
Just about to ask you.
So we've seen some generations.
That's dope. Man. That's dope. So year 22, right? So this is
trying to get
upcoming
that, senior citizen program in real quick. What's that?
This upcoming February will be the 22nd or 23rd. What is it? Anniversary for 206 Zulu.
22nd. Yeah.
Wow. That's dope, man. Yes, early sir. Shout out, early happy anniversary to 206 Zulu.
Oh yeah. Thank you. Many more. Yo, before we wrap this up, okay? Just for my personal curiosity, what's the science behind the name Chasm?
Great question.
Ooh. Well, Chasm is a, you know, I started as a graffiti writer. And I like the way that because so Chasm is a word, you know, like when the earth splits apart. And for me, it's like a metaphor because I like to expose the underground, you know. So for me, it's like, you know, I just thought it just, and plus, you know, it's C-H-A-S-M is a word, but, you know, hip hop dudes don't know how to spell. So we like to, you know, trick it out on the graffiti tip. So I did it with the K, H, A, and the Z, and the M. And, yeah, just kind of a lot of writers, you know, they go through different names and stuff like that. But, I don't know. I just always kept it. I never really switched it up, and yeah, I guess it was a lot of years later, you know, it was kind of a big honor to be accepted and regarded as Zulu King, you know, and so by the UZN and Supreme World Council, and so you know, that's where the King Chasm came from. But yeah, that's it. Like to expose the underground.
Okay.
That's dope. That's dope, man. Yo, I just want to say, man, thank you for all you've done to promote Zulu, to just really live, you know what I'm saying, by the principles, and always extending love and inviting brothers and sisters out. Because, you know, you all have been encouraging us to come out to Seattle from back then. I wish I would have went out there when I was younger, but I'm glad that I did go out, you know, with my wife and several other Zulus. You know, a good amount of us went out there to Seattle and had a great experience. It's a beautiful city.
It was amazing.
I really loved my time over there, and I wish I had a little bit more time
We'll be out there this year.
Yeah, I plan on definitely heading back, you know what I'm saying, as soon as possible. Definitely going to, you know, come up to Washington Hall, check y'all out and support and build with y'all. But, man, you know, just so honored, man, to be your brother and watch your growth and use that as fuel and motivation to learn from you all and just, you know, hope to apply some of the things that we've learned from you all here in New York as we build the infrastructure and rebuild the organization as best as we can. But, you know, you're our brother for life. We honor, we respect you, we love you. And just keep on striving, man. Don't let, you know, your foot off the gas, man, because what you all have done in Seattle is so incredible. You know what I'm saying? So just keep up the work, my brother, you know, and you know you got family worldwide that, you know, is watching and we support and love you and you all, you know, from 206 Zulu. So looking forward to possibly coming, getting you back on here soon and getting Queen Kitty Wu on here as well to talk about her experience and dive a little bit more into Washington Hall and some of the programs and stuff that you all have done. Cause it's a lot of work, too much to cover. You can't talk about, you know, over two decades of work in an hour conversation, but we wanted to get some of your history, some of your story, and we're very grateful to hear it firsthand. Yeah, man. Thank you, brother, for real.
One love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys have always kept it 100 and always been true school zoos. You know what I mean? We got nothing but love for you. But y'all, we definitely be making our way out there. You know what I mean? We got the summit this summer.
So oh yeah.
We're looking forward to that. So
yeah,
it's
definitely
about to be real official.
Yeah, definitely. It's gonna be a great time for real. All right, my brother. Much love, man. You know, big salute, big respect to the whole 206 Zulu yourself.
Check the mic.
Can you hear me?
All right, say something now.
Yeah, can you hear me? Well anyway, all right. Listen.
Oh.
Peace. Peace. Peace right, and y'all. Love.
Peace.
Peace.
Don't hang up, though.
No doubt. Oh, yeah, don't hang up.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well,